Are you angry? No, really. Has that one person got you fuming? Well, call them out. Now's your chance to tell them.
You know what? You just made the list.
You just made the list.
Here we go.
Let us know who's on your list. Call 615-737-1025. You just made the list. Now, on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
All right, it's therapy time here on Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Friday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a good day. It's time to get something off your chest. Who or what has made you mad? It's been a feisty show. We should keep that theme going. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, $25 gift card to Nashville Underground that Chase is not allowed to use because he's in retirement, supposedly.
Yep.
Allegedly. A lot of words we can use for that. But we need you to get involved in the show. All right. Chase, you've been chomping at the bit, or do you want to hold?
You guys go first, and then I'll do mine.
Well, can we share the quick note from Murfreesboro?
Let's do that.
A nice little surprise, and it's because of some unfortunate circumstances, but it appears, and we've gotten this confirmed from the athletic department at Middle Tennessee, that Middle's game is going to be moved back a half hour, the start time, against Troy, and be aired on ESPN. So that's the really good news. What has happened is Florida Atlantic's game against Georgia Southern has been postponed because Florida Atlantic had some COVID issues throughout the week, and unfortunately, they don't have enough guys to play. So that's at least 15 games on the FBS level that have had to be postponed because of COVID. So it has not been perfect, but we keep moving forward, and the beneficiary is Troy and Middle. So if you're going to the game tomorrow in Murfreesboro, move it up 30 minutes. And you're going to get on TV if you're going to the game. So they are going to have, what did we say, guys? A certain amount of fans, what, 5,000 or so? I forget what the percentage was, but I know there will be some fans in the stands, and so
yeah,
let's
hope
they
host fans.
Let's hope they're ready to roll. I think they'll be very determined to be better than they were their first time out. They're a slight underdog against Troy, and so we'll see what happens. So, but 2:30 on ESPN, the Blue Raiders.
That's awesome. Awesome. Do you want to start, Willie, or do you want me to go?
Go ahead.
Mine's very simple. I don't know if you guys saw this story or not this week, but there was a radio host in Chicago, Dan McNeil, who tweeted out some comments about Maria Taylor, and she was doing the sidelines for, what was it, the Giants-Steelers game on Monday night?
Yeah.
And I think that was her first time on the NFL sidelines. Is that correct? I'm pretty sure about that.
Yeah, because they had the, it was Herb Street and Fowler, so they had the
yes.
The top so college crew, which I thought they all did a great job.
They did. And he's on 670 The Score in Chicago, and he tweeted out that her outfit looked more appropriate for the AVN awards presentation, which, if you know what AVN is, everybody know what an AVN
yeah,
is?
No, I do.
It's highly inappropriate. And they did the right thing. And by the way, she handled it with class. She actually responded back on Twitter and just said, well, Danny, dearest, if you would like to continue making sexist comments about me, please bring your misogyny with you to the NBA Countdown doubleheader I'll be hosting tomorrow night. Hey, ladies, remember, you can wear whatever you feel confident in. He has since lost his job.
Yeah, he's got some free time as a result, so he can come down there.
He lost his job because of this, and it just goes just another example of if you don't understand, it should never be appropriate, but like we just know where we are today. Like, especially if you don't understand that those comments are inappropriate, in the world that we're in 2020, and you don't understand the backlash you're going to get from a stupid comment like that, I don't know what rock or cave you've been living in. clearly Dan McNeil has been living in one in Chicago. I haven't seen any caves in Chicago, but apparently there is one, and he found it, and he was living in it. And like I said, he did lose his job over this, but how dumb. Wasn't he on Afternoon Drive in Chicago? I think his show was an Afternoon Drive. Dude, you're in Afternoon Drive. What? Making comments like, are you serious? So, Dan McNeil in Chicago.
You just made the list.
It's played out since then. I've had this sitting here waiting for Friday. But he tried to delete it, by the way, 30 minutes later. This just in. When you make a stupid remark on Twitter, deleting it 30 minutes later, it's not going to do anything.
Nope.
This just
nope.
in. Not going to do anything.
Nope. Too late. He did
yeah, he
not
was
listen
in Afternoon
to,
Drive in
He
Chicago.
Didn't listen to Herm Edwards. Don't press send.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So there you go. Willie?
Darren, I got to put Brett Favre on the list. And not, I'm not talking about the Brett Favre of Broadway.
Still the I was going to ask you which one. Clarify.
Still that. I don't get that after one game, he's going to weigh in on Bruce Arians talking about Tom Brady and being what does he know about what's going on between those two guys? It's just I don't know. You can't project your life, and because it didn't work out at a certain point, because there became a point where he ceased to be productive. I did not think that it was appropriate for him to jump in there after one game. If it's after three games, then maybe. But the Brett Favre comments on Tom Brady and Bruce Arians, that's from way out there. That's from way out there.
You just made the list.
All right,
and it forced everybody. I mean, Bruce Arians is, you know, they just started this whole thing, right? And now he's got to have a whole press conference because Brett Favre weighs in, and it became something that it's really not after one game. But he went out. I mean, I guess he gave his opinion. But getting to Bruce Arians' comments, true or not, I think the last person you want to call after the first game is Tom Brady. I don't get it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. So overreaction, that's what happens.
Overreaction Monday.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you guys ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. So many times on this segment, my dog Sawyer has been on the list as he lays right next to me and looks up when he hears his name. He once again finds himself on the list after the events of last night. So just a little, I guess, a quick version of this. My dad had a little procedure yesterday, so he was here, and I was getting him in the car to take him home. Well, Sawyer is, he thinks everybody comes to the house to see him. And so he's very excited and just like being difficult, not wanting to stay in one place as I try and help my dad. And my mom's assisting, and it's a team effort. And so Sawyer runs out the door because he thinks he's going with everybody. And that, of course, is not the case. So I'm trying to get him back in the house. He's not cooperating, and I live in my grandparents' old house, and so it's, you know, it's older, obviously, and they have one of those storm doors from way back in the day that if that thing locks from the outside, you're not getting in. They just, you can't, there's no way around it. And he, as I'm trying to get him back in the house, he kicked the door and it slammed shut, and the locking mechanism, it froze up or something. I couldn't get the door open. And I even had my keys. Didn't work. I could not get in the house. Like, I was completely locked out of the house because of Sawyer. So I'm standing there trying to figure this out. Key isn't working. I'm stuck with the dog with no leash. Dad's in the car. I have my mom run my dad home as I sit here trying to figure out what am I going to do. Sawyer's trying to run around the neighborhood and go see everybody. So I'm having to try and hang on to him while trying to get into my house. It took me about an hour and a half to finally figure out how to get back in the house. And what I ended up doing is there was a sliding glass door to the where I'm at, or the room I'm in now. And I know it's like, okay, it's got a lock. Maybe I can try and, you know, jiggle that and get it open. Well, I happened to have a small key on my key ring that went in there, and that's how I was able to kind of jiggle it. And it may have actually been the key. This lock was so old. But that's how I got back in. But Sawyer is on the list big time because I missed the first half of the football game. I was standing outside trying to get and I did learn that it's very difficult to get in my house, so that's a good thing. But yeah, so Sawyer's on the list for locking me out of my house, even when I had a key.
You just made the list!
What grade in school did Sawyer drop out?
Kindergarten.
He seems like a big lovable fella, but I'm not sure he's going to be splitting atoms anytime soon.
No, he's not. He's not, and he's sitting here snoring right now, so he's not worried about anything.
So he locked you out of your own house.
He did.
That is pretty bad. My dogs were on the list for a little separate reason. They've just been annoying. The latch has broke on our door that leads into our basement from the outside. So the dogs, if it's a little hot or something, they like going down into the basement. But now, which we thought at first, like, that's all right. You know, let them, it's cooler down there, whatever. But now what they like to do is come up the stairs to the door from the inside that goes down to the basement. And they like to scratch on the door and whine and yelp as if we're going to open the door. We're not going to open the door. We're not going to set a precedent that every time you go down into the basement and come up the stairs and not, you know, scratch on the door, we're going to let you into the house. It doesn't work that way. But they just keep doing it. They keep doing it.
Do you let them in?
No, never.
Okay, well, that's good.
We make them come back around and out around to the back door, even when it's time to feed them and stuff. And now, no matter what I put up on that door to keep them out of the basement, they figure a way to burrow and get around it and still get into the basement. So it's like a nightmare, like every night. Well, let's see how long it takes them to get it past this barricade. And sure enough, whoop, 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 scratch, scratch, scratch. And they just annoy the heck out of you. They try to beat you down until you let them in. But I never let them in through that door.
Well, that's smart.
But it doesn't matter. They keep doing it. Clyde just keeps whimpering and scratching. He just drives us crazy. And then starts barking. Dude, Roman, we're not going to let you in.
Jumps. He chest bumps the door. Like, you think
he does.
Like, we're waiting for him to jump through the thing. Like, it's going to be bad if he goes through the glass. Yeah, he chest bumps the door.
Now, Roman's got some personality. Roman's something.
He's got personality, yeah. He's got something. That's right. 615-737-1025. That's our phone numbers. We'll come back, get your calls. Doug, you're going to be first up. Tell us who or what is on your list. A $25 gift card to Nashville Underground is on the line. It's that simple. Joseph Newgarden at the bottom of the hour. Right now, I want to talk to you about my friends at Cool Springs MD. And I've been talking about these folks for years on the show because I've been going there for years. And they've been around for years, helping a lot of you, since 2007 to be exact, helping a lot of you improve your quality of life. And as we all get older, I hope everybody wants that like I do. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge is front and center on that quest. He's the board certified physician over there that can help you with so many things. His wife Daphne is the registered nurse, and their experienced staff want to help you with, let's say, hormone replacement therapy. Maybe you've been feeling really sluggish and really off lately. Haven't been feeling yourself. Well, go in there and talk to them about that. Maybe get your numbers checked and see if you're extremely low. Your numbers tend to go down as we get older, and that could be affecting your mood, just your energy levels. You can talk about that, and they can certainly help you. Face and body rejuvenation, something to look into. Weight loss management. Maybe you've been out of your routine lately. You've been tacking on a few pounds that you would like to get rid of. Some unwanted pounds. Well, they've got programs and people that can get you going in the right direction. If you need to see everything they house under one roof, it's a beautiful facility over there in Cool Springs right off 65. you can go to their website, coolspringsmd.com. And if you need to schedule an appointment or a consultation, dial this number, 615-283-7291. Once again, that's 283-7291. Trying to find out who has made you mad this week. 615-737-1025. Who or what has made you mad here on You Just Made the List? Doug is calling in on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Doug, who has made you mad?
Guys, I need you to help me do a little math. You know, you go into a car place and you go in with four tires, correct?
Usually, yes.
And then, you know, you purchase four tires, correct?
Most of the time, yes.
And I left with eight tires, which the four that I purchased and the four that I went in with.
Okay.
All right, so this is the problem here. I decided to, you know, cater to a hometown family-owned tire place. I noticed that the Michelin tires are the same price as the big chain, so I'm just going to cater to the little roadside hometown tire place and get four tires, take four tires with me. That's a total of eight. Now, remember, I came in with four. My bill said that I had an eight-tire shredding fee. I only purchased four tires. Why are you charging me for eight?
Eight-tire shredding fee?
Eight tires, a shredding fee for eight tires.
Okay.
I only purchased four. I'm taking all tires with me. I get it. You really shouldn't charge me with any shredding fee because I didn't leave you any tires. But I'm okay. The state charges that. Why are you charging me eight tires? Only purchased four, leaving with eight. So I stood my ground and I said, you know, if you'd have just charged me, you know, eight extra bucks, I wouldn't have known. But you said eight tires. You only put on four, so why are you charging me? He said, that's what the state says. The state says you charge me for what I purchased. I'm leaving here. So I said, if that's the way you feel, take your four tires off. He said, are you kidding me? I said, no, I'm not. So I stood my ground. Needless to say, they took off the four tires. So little hometown tire place, they tried to shice me for $2 a tire when I didn't get but four tires from you. You made the list. That's why we buy from the
You just made the list.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
That doesn't make any
made
sense.
No sense.
I've never heard of that.
I leave with four tires on, four tires in the bed. You charge me for eight tires. Shredding. It's on the bill. I've seen it before. Shredding fee. It's on every tire purchase. Shredding fee. But I leave with all tires. Didn't leave you any tires.
So they took it off the bill, or they literally took off the tires off your car?
I stood my ground. I said, I tell you what, you take those tires you put on off, you can have them back. And they said, are you serious? I said, yes, I am. So they took the tire shredding fee off the bill.
Oh, they took the shredding fee off. I was going to say, they didn't lose the sale, right?
It's fair for you to go ahead and charge me for four, but you're not going to charge me shredding fee for eight tires. I only purchased four.
Huh. Well, at least they came to their senses and did the right thing.
I had nothing else to do. I was going to sit there and let them take them off. My money's in my hand. I had not paid yet. So it's up to you.
Thank you, Doug.
Thanks, guys.
Let's go to Doug. Always has
He's got good ones.
Yeah. Tony in Nolensville, who or what is on your list?
Guys, let me tell you who's on my list. I'm retired, got a couple of golf buddies that are retired as well, and they retired before me. Now, all I heard some time ago was, we're going to play some golf when we're retired. I can't get these guys off the couch or out of their house. Their social life has turned into going to the doctor and taking their wives to Home Depot as they sit in their truck waiting on the wives to come out with the goods. They also have told me in the last couple of weeks, get us in some scrambles. We want to play some scrambles. I got us in some scrambles. Well, what do you know? One of them's got to wait and be at his house with his roofers coming for 4 days. I've never known someone to put a roof on that took 4 days. These guys are still my friends, always will be, but I'm really getting about tired of them right now because they have made the list.
You that just made the list.
Sounds like retirement is boring for those guys.
Hey, I hope you guys don't ever get that way as you get older. I have some health issues, but I still get out. I'm out and about right now. I still go out and eat a little bit sometimes. I still go play around the golf every once in a while. But these guys got to get out of that chair and out of that car because they have made the list. And, Willie, don't ever be that guy. Thanks, guys. I'll let you later.
Tony brings it,
too. I will do what I can to avoid that. You got to get out. You got to move.
You got to get out. You got to get moving. All right, there's some news before we get to the break and come back with Joseph Newgarden and Matt Cruz and tell you a little bit about this cool event that's coming to our city next August. There is some news on the Titans front. Let's pass it along.
Yeah, so it came out yesterday with the Adam Schefter tweet that A.J. Brown, Titans wide receiver, he could be week to week with his knee injury. Jim Wyatt of TennesseeTitans.com, not spotted on the practice field Friday for the Titans. A.J. Brown, also Malcolm Butler and Darrington Evans, they were not on the practice field as well. So the Titans could be without their top wide receiver this weekend against the Jags. And Corey Davis has, you know, had the hammy, had a big night Monday, but you know that's something to definitely pay attention to.
He is practicing today. A.J. Brown's dealing with the knee injury. Malcolm Butler dealing with a quad injury. Malcolm Butler, we had a really good conversation with him recently, and Darrington Evans dealing with the hamstring. I don't know if this is going to be a theme with Darrington Evans, and this is unfortunately the way he's going to start off his NFL career in the tub a lot, but for the Titans' sake, I'm sure they're hoping he gets back sooner rather than later. We're going to tell you about a really cool event that is coming to our city. Burke Nihil in the second hour did confirm that these open wheel cars will not end up on the grass at Nissan Stadium on the field. So that was good to know because that could do some damage at the speed those cars travel. But Music City Grand Prix next August, we're very excited about it. We'll talk with Joseph Newgarden and Matt Cruz on the other side. Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game on this Friday afternoon. We have had a fast-moving show, and with that being said, there's going to be some fast cars, some fast open-wheel cars in our city, in the streets of downtown next August. That is going to be so incredibly cool with the Music City Grand Prix coming to our city. That announcement was made, and with that being said, no stranger to the show, Joseph Newgarden, Nashvillian, guy we look up to. We've watched him grow up in front of our eyes. I'm aging us and Joseph, who's had so much success on the open wheel circuit. He is on the line with us. Matt Cruz is also the Music City Grand Prix CEO. Guys, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Joseph,
great to be here.
Joseph, it's been a while since we've talked to you. What have you been up to?
Well, you know, trying to understand the world like everybody, I guess, right now, and trying to fight through our racing season, which has only gotten better, to be honest. It's nice. We're definitely getting back to more normal days. We're not, you know, fully there yet. Just like anything in life right now, we're all working back to a new normal. But it's been fun to be back racing. You know, we've been back for the last 3-4 months and just kind of seeing the resurgence in sports. And, you know, I think everyone being cooped up for those couple months, it really made you realize how much, you know, you love sports and you know, love what we get to do every weekend. So, yeah, just working on our schedule and trying to close out our IndyCar season on a good note this year.
Yeah, I know, look, I know you guys have been back racing, but I do want to ask you a serious question because it's going to come off as a goofy question. But because of this pandemic and, you know, us having to do things differently, you're a very outgoing, sociable person. You know, you like to be amongst the fans, be, you know, out there, out and about, seen. And, you know, we've had to do things different in this calendar year, the last 6+ months. How difficult of a challenge has that been for you not to be, you know, in the middle of everything like in the past?
You know, you'd be surprised. I've actually loved this in some respects.
Really?
I'm way more of an introvert than people realize, but to your point, you know, at the racetrack, it's really enjoyable to be at an IndyCar paddock just because of the way that an IndyCar, the way an IndyCar race works is it's all about the access for fans, much more than any other sport. And it's really cool timing, actually, for this announcement for the GP that's coming to Nashville now, because I think it's gonna be taking place at a really, really great time, you know, next year in August. Obviously, we're all working to get back to the normal we were used to, and I you know, hopefully that coincides perfectly with everything opening back up again. And I think fans are going to get, to your point, this sort of interaction level that they've never really had at a sports event before. I mean, you can, at a street course race, specifically in IndyCar, you can get so close to the action, so close to the teams, the drivers, the professionals within that sport, and really enjoy it. You know, it's a festival vibe, too, so you can walk around, do whatever, check out music, eat good food. But the access to the actual sport event that's going on, I think, is unparalleled to anything else anyone has ever seen before.
I've been to, you know, IndyCar races. I've been to tons of NASCAR races. I've never been to a road course race or one in the streets. Matt, as the CEO of the Music City Grand Prix, one, tell us what we're in for, and two, Joseph put some pressure on this event. I mean, he said this week at the press conference, outside of the Brickyard in the Indianapolis 500, this is going to be the destination all the drivers want to come to. That's a lot of pressure.
Well, and he had to say that because his boss was in the front row. We all really know this is the destination everybody wants to come to. So, but we'll give Joseph a pass on that one. Mr. Penske was a few feet away. So, but no, we, you know, and Joseph will probably be the first to attest. You know, when you go out to the Long Beach Grand Prix, to the St. Pete Grand Prix, they are the most exciting events on the tour because it combines racing with an urban, you know, street fair. No offense to those two cities, they're not Nashville. I mean, Nashville throws an epic party. And to take the greatest drivers and the greatest teams in the world and plop them into the party that we throw on every given weekend in Nashville, Tennessee, epic. You know, we're fortunate enough to have partners like Scott Borchetta, so, you know, people who know how to bring music to life. We're working with some of Nashville's top restaurant owners and operators. So you're going to see a festival here that I've always kind of said tongue-in-cheek. If half the fans leave and never see a car, they're still going to have the time of their life. The ones that see the car are going to have a sensory overload like nothing else.
I have to believe there's so many people listening to this. They're in the same boat as me. I mean, everything I've ever seen on the racing side of things, no matter what the circuit is on an oval. I've never seen anything, you know, on a road course or through the streets of a downtown of a city or through the streets. I know, Joseph, that they do, you know, a lot of street racing at, what is it, Toronto? I know a lot of them on your circuit do that, or some do. For folks that have never experienced that, on how you take that in as a fan, how different of a, you know, how different is it to see something like this?
Oh, it's totally different. I mean, look, there, like I was saying, you're going to see a sports event like this city has never seen before. I mean, an IndyCar is really special. It's such a cool experience. It's a visceral experience, which is what IndyCar really is. It's all about the energy of the cars, super powerful, super lightweight, and, you know, trying to handle these machines on a confined street circuit is really impressive to watch. And on a street course, you can really see that violence up close and personal. Because it's amazing to watch the drivers handle these vehicles. It's actually one of the reasons I fell in love with IndyCar racing. And people ask me that all the time, you know, growing up in Nashville, you know, how did you get into IndyCar, or why did you have an interest in it? And part of it was watching them on street courses when I was younger. I was like shocked at how the drivers were handling these vehicles in these environments. And so it's a really impressive sight to see. I'm blown away that we're going to be able to do that in my hometown of Nashville. You know, it's always, I'm having to tell people, hey, come to St. Pete or come to Long Beach or come to Toronto, these other great events that we normally have, and they'd have to come to the action. Whereas, you know, now we have a perfect excuse. You get to see that really cool event in our own city in Nashville. And because it's Nashville, if you're not from Nashville, everyone wants to come to this place, and they want an excuse to come here. So I think it's going to be a double win, because people that aren't from here are going to want to come see an IndyCar race and just come to Nashville to have a good time.
We're talking to Joseph Newgarden, two-time IndyCar champion, and Matt Cruz, the CEO of the Music City Grand Prix. And Matt and I actually did some work together last year with the World of Outlaws when they were out at the fairgrounds. And Matt, you gave me a ride around that dirt course in your truck. I'm going to actually see if Joseph can cruise around with me when you guys come here around this street course, because I kind of think that'd be a little more fun. No offense to you, but
yeah, no, definitely. I wouldn't ride with me. So.
but so you've planned a lot of these events and you've been in racing for a long time. Can it take us through some of the history of how this came to be? Because I actually think Joseph brought it up one of the times he was on with us, yeah, that this could be a thing. But some of the history of finally getting this event here.
Yeah, so Wednesday was really the culmination of about a 5-year process to get to this point in time. There's so many moving parts when you try to combine a city event schedule, hotel availability, other festivals, other conventions that are in the town. You combine that with trying to marry that up with the IndyCar schedule. You then kind of combine it around an NFL or Tennessee Titans schedule. So, you know, from a scheduling point of view, it's a tough needle to thread. And we look at this as the next Long Beach Grand Prix, who's been on kind of the same date for 40 years. So we wanted to make sure that our date, we at least had it for 3 to 5 years right off the bat. So that was kind of the starting point. We also really, really wanted to get into August, just because we look at this as Nashville's first really large international event, and getting into August gets us into that heavy European travel month. So we thought that really coincided nicely with the expansion of the airport. And then it just took a lot of, you know, getting the right from government sign-offs to putting the right investor group together, and people seeing the belief of what this can do for the city. And I cannot tell you how proud I am of the people that have come together to make this happen. And sure, I wish it would have happened a couple of years earlier. However, we'd be sitting here, you know, talking about the canceled Music City Grand Prix had we had it done for this year. So all things for a reason. And, you know, Nashville just continues to grow as a city. I mean, you know, if you're not downtown right now, the construction hasn't stopped. So Nashville, you know, I think we're going to be we want to be part of the message that Nashville's coming back, and we're coming back bigger and stronger and faster. And I think it's going to work out perfect. All things for a reason. And, you know, I think it's going to work out that all those things can come together, and we can really be the light at the end of the tunnel for Nashville to get back to what Nashville does, which is we show people a great time.
Joseph, what does it say about, not only is he your team owner, Roger Penske, but now he's, you know, running IndyCar, he's the owner of IndyCar. What does it say about him to add a new event to the series as a whole? And as you mentioned earlier, it's in your hometown.
Well, it's been, I think, a treat for everybody to have Roger Penske, you know, guiding the ship of the series in the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. You know, everyone was delighted about that news when they heard about it at the end of last year. But, you know, everything that Roger is involved in is done right, and it's, you know, it's done to the best possible way. And so, you know, Matt and the team at the Music City Grand Prix, they really had to, you know, lay out an aggressively good plan and make sure that everything was crossed off. And they've done that. You know, they've put the right people in place. They have the right support. This is it's a serious event that's going to be put on. And, you know, Roger doesn't like to jump in on things like this unless it's 100% correct. And it is. So I think if anything, it's great to have Roger's backing and approval. And certainly, you know, he's very excited about an event like this. This is a perfect city to bring on board for us. It's a great demographic, and I think it's the right timing. So, yeah, we're all pretty encouraged. And, you know, just on a personal note, for me, it's just a wild thing. You know, I never would have thought, growing up on the north side of Nashville in Hendersonville, you know, I was playing baseball when I was a kid, and I never believed one day, I'd be driving for Roger Penske and I'd be racing at a street course in downtown streets of Nashville. I just, you know, that's not something that you ever really envision. So for it to actually become a reality next year is going to be a really special deal.
Joseph,
yeah, I haven't won 2 championships for Mr. Penske yet, so he's still Mr. Penske in my mind. So I'm not like Joseph. I can't call him Roger yet.
Well, probably a smart move. Matt, you know, obviously you're going to have the stars of IndyCar, but the announcement a few weeks ago that, you know, Jimmy Johnson, who's stepping away full-time, yeah, in NASCAR, he's going to run the road courses for IndyCar. So it looks like he's going to be a part of this. I know that has to be an extra feather in the cap to have the 7-time NASCAR champion as a part of this event.
Yeah, I was so pleased to see within about 2 minutes of announcement, Jimmy Johnson was on social media about coming to Nashville. So he's a champion in all forms. So, you know, he'll he'll bring a lot to IndyCar. Obviously, he's got his work cut out for him. Those guys over there, Joseph Newman, aren't going to just lay down because he's a seven-time NASCAR champion. So he's going to have his work cut out for him next year. But I'm really looking forward to having him here as part of our event.
Joseph, what is going to be the biggest challenge for him as he goes from these heavier stock cars, mostly on ovals, to getting into Indy cars that are much lighter?
Well, Jimmy's going to have his hands full, especially around a place like Nashville. A street course is, you know, arguably probably the biggest difference to what he's used to. It's a really violent environment. You know, you're getting beat up pretty good because it's city streets. These aren't manicured racetracks. But that's what adds to the challenge, and it's what makes him fun. But he's gonna have a blast. You know, Jimmy, we text with Jimmy all the time, and he's always wanted to drive Indy cars. You know, since he was a young kid in California, he dreamed about going and running the Indianapolis 500. And you know, just the way his career kind of took place, it just pushed him towards the NASCAR route, and that's, you know, ended up where he, you know, made his name and had such an incredible run. So. I think he's trying to do actually something for himself now. Like, he really, really wants to drive IndyCar and make the most of it. And, you know, the great thing about him is that he's such a proven champion, and he's done so much. He's one of the most accomplished racers in the world that he doesn't have to prove anything to anybody. You know, he gets to just go out and compete on a new challenge and trying to make the most of it. But it will be hard. I mean, there's a lot of young chargers right now in IndyCar. A lot of young blood, and it's going to be very difficult for him to, you know, try and figure out how to get the most out of these cars. It's not an overnight thing. I mean, it's going to take him multiple races to kind of understand, okay, how do you really drive this car to the limit and get the most out of it? It's very different to a stock car. So I think for fans, it's going to be really fun to watch him go through that process. I think it'll be a huge challenge and something, you know, people are going to cheer for him to try and do well at.
Joseph, we've talked before about, you know, you run for Roger Penske. Obviously, he's got the NASCAR team. Of would you ever consider doing the Memorial Day double? But now with two events that aren't the same weekend, but a NASCAR event at the Oval out in Gladeville, and then this, of course, is that something that maybe not next year, but you know, down the line, that you'd love to be able to race a NASCAR on the Oval in your hometown or outside your hometown, and then of course what you're doing in IndyCar.
Yeah, that'd be incredible. You know, honestly, I wouldn't limit it to just that event. I would love to just do some NASCAR racing in general. I'm a huge race fan, and it doesn't have to be IndyCar. My heart's always been in open wheel racing. You know, it's what I grew up loving. But I watched everything and certainly would like to try, just like Jimmy wants to cross over and try an IndyCar. I'm the same way with stock cars, and you'll get that with a lot of IndyCar guys. There's this interest from both sides where they want to see, you know, what another environment's like, and just really to challenge themselves. It'd be like if you had the NFL and it had a really good rivaled series that other players were competing in, and maybe the style was just slightly different, you know, and it was really, really, really competitive, and they'd want to try, you know, something different after their career in the NFL. So it's a little different where racing has those kind of subdivisions. You know, you've got sports car, you've got Formula One, you've got NASCAR and IndyCar. So that kind of bouncing around, I think, is very enticing to a lot of guys. So for me, I'm interested. I just got to convince my boss. You know, I think I need to win the 500 or something to convince him, but I'd love to go do some NASCAR events at some point.
Last thing quickly, Joseph, you've had a lot of success in Iowa. You've had a lot of success in Birmingham, Alabama. How are you going to deal with the pressure of everybody pointing to you starting next August that you've got to win in your home city? I mean, you've got to win in Nashville.
I've never been in this predicament, you know. I've never had an opportunity to compete in my hometown, and certainly not in this, you know, this grand of fashion, in my opinion. You know, putting it downtown in the middle of the streets, that's the most pressure-filled you can make it. I mean, it's in the heart of the action. So, I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to respond to it, but it's circled on my list. I can tell you what, outside the Indy 500, the Nashville, the Music City Grand Prix is going to be number one. I almost want to say it's going to be number one on my list to do well at next year. And what's very special about new events is whoever the inaugural winner is, that is a special achievement.
Yeah.
So I think everybody, all drivers are going to try and win that very first race.
That's a really, really good point. Well, we're very excited here. Good to talk to both of you. Thanks so much for doing this. Joseph, I know we'll talk to you here soon. I know your season is getting close to winding down. I think, what, you got Mid-Ohio? That's what next up? Is that right?
Yep. No, we just got through Mid-Ohio.
Oh, you just got through Mid-Ohio.
Yeah, Indy GP is coming up in a couple weeks.
And then one more, and then that's it, huh?
Yeah, we got three to go. End of October, we'll end the season and see where we're at.
Best of luck. Always good to talk to you, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, everyone.
All right, that is Joseph Newgarden, IndyCar driver, and Matt Cruz, who's the Music City Grand Prix CEO, and we are excited that first weekend in August, it is going to be a three-day festival in 2021 in downtown Nashville. Open-wheel cars here, and it is going to be
so, cool.
So much fun. Cannot wait. We'll come back, wrap up the third hour next. Lee Sterling to start the fourth and final hour. We'll get you ready for pick six following that. We are excited. We'll recap last week's pick six, pick our this week's games and categories, and then we'll turn it over to you, 615-737-1025. Once again, exciting news. It was great. We had Alex Bowman in the first hour, Bristol Motor Speedway Saturday night under the lights this weekend. And, of course, Joseph Newgarden, IndyCar driver, and Matt Cruz, who is Music City Grand Prix CEO. That open-wheel event coming to down the streets of downtown. They're going to go across the bridge.
That's going to be so cool.
That is going to be incredible. And it's going to be
– Can you really go across that bridge that fast?
I'm not going to lie. I'm a little concerned. But
yeah.
I know. It's – yeah.
I've been running late to work a few times and gone across that bridge pretty fast, but not like an IndyCar.
I would hope not. I mean, they're going to hit that sucker going, what, about 140?
Man, I don't know.
Maybe. Maybe a little faster.
Well, the answer is as fast as they can possibly go without wrecking. But
well, I know. I mean, I know they can go 200, but, I mean, you're not going 200 miles per hour. Yeah, they can go over 200. You're not going to hit that bridge going 200 miles per hour.
I wouldn't think so.
Right?
But like, here's the, you know, for those of you that just aren't familiar, I mean, IndyCars, they fly. You know, NASCAR at Talladega hits around 200. IndyCars at Indianapolis, they'll do about 218, somewhere in there. I mean, they go fast because they're not as heavy, you know. So
yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm a little nervous for these guys, but they're professionals, and you know they're going to be just fine. So, it's going to be really cool.
But
to
where
have
do they go after
city.
They cross the bridge? Like, are they going
to
stop at
they're
the traffic light?
Their Nissan Stadium, and they're going to go into the field and do some donuts, and then head back out and get back on the course.
I got to be honest, I still don't have the visual of how this is going to work.
All right, so the map here is they basically do kind of a circle around the parking lot in Nissan Stadium. It's more of a square, and then they have a little chicane where they head across the bridge. So they go, it's a straightaway, and they curve as they go across the Korean Vets Bridge. They come out around First Avenue. They go down First Avenue. There's another little chicane. Come back around
First Avenue.
Hit First again.
What's the fastest car that's ever gone down First Avenue?
Not, I can't imagine it's very fast.
No. They make a sharp turn, which is dubbed Turn 11, and then come back across the Korean Vets Bridge, back around Nissan Stadium, or into Nissan Stadium, or out just outside again. So it's
going to be amazing.
I hope, I was talking to somebody else about this. I hope they put this on iRacing. I want to do this on iRacing.
Where do you, I think the thing that I really want to learn is where are the best places to set up shop?
Yeah. Where are we doing the show from? That's what,
well, Burke Nihil said, you know, they're going to have those, that area. We all know, but you know, you go in on that side, the water side,
the East,
right? The Cumberland side. And the all glass, and you know there's areas in there, so that's gonna be that.
Is actually on the club that this is going. You're gonna have the best view is actually away from the river. It's on the other.
Really?
Side. Yeah, it's the East Club because if there, so there's a.
Why would that be? Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sending you. I'm sending you guys the map.
You talking about the club? Okay, over on the other side then.
I'm talking about the club where
the
you can actually
big,
see the track.
Huge club area.
Yeah, the East Club.
But that's like overlooking the parking lot.
That's the racetrack, though.
Really?
Yeah. I just sent you the map. It'll give you a better idea
okay.
of what it looks like.
Well, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, because that is going to view the paddock, the racetrack, the finish line, pit road. That's where all of that's going to be.
Oh, okay.
That's another thing. They got to have a pit road. They got to have that. So that's going to look at that, and then it goes across the river into downtown. They're not really going to be in downtown all that long, and then they come back across the river.
Are they going to do burnouts on Broadway?
That's NASCAR's thing.
Okay.
They're going to do that.
I just looked to make sure there's some news I want to pass along. Nobody picked it in Silly Underdog Picks on our panel. But
I almost did.
But Baylor-Houston, that game has been postponed.
Mm.
So nobody picked it on yesterday's show, but Baylor-Houston has been postponed. Miles Sanders, the running back for the Eagles, who missed last week's game, he's been dealing with a hamstring injury. He says he is 100% ready to go. So it looks like Miles Sanders will suit up for the Eagles this Sunday. Also, Mike Vrabel saying, A.J. Brown, we told you about him dealing with the knee injury. Mike Vrabel has ruled him out for Sunday's contest versus Jacksonville. A.J. Brown has been ruled out.
Not good.
They are thin. They are awfully thin. Floyd was talking about it yesterday with us, that has been one of his areas. You know, without Tajay Sharp, they don't have an obvious replacement for him. And so now you lose your number one. You've got a number two that's nursing the hamstring. He played pretty well on it on Monday, but let's hope he can continue to get through it. Humphrey seems to be fine, but there's not that other guy. So Cody Hollister or... I still think that
Hollister's not on the roster. they put him back on the practice squad.
But they've got to activate him, don't they?
Well, They brought up Nick Westbrook Akine, who was on the practice squad. So he's on the active roster. The wide receivers that are going to be, and I would imagine Hollister will get brought back, but Corey Davis, Adam Humphries, Khalif Raymond, and then Westbrook Akine.
But I see Raymond as sort of a specialist, right? He's got a specific role. He's not a guy that's going to line up and play all those snaps.
Cam Batson's available, too. He's on the practice squad.
Yeah.
So they have Cody Hollister and Cam Batson.
It completely changes the game plan. Not having Brown.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
That's trouble.
All right, we'll come back. Lee Sterling.
By the way, you mentioned Houston and Baylor. That's two games today, day before the game, canceled
or
postponed. That's rough.
Lee Sterling to start the fourth and final hour, plus pick six. Those are things on tap here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.